morning, everyone. Good morning, Diane. How are you doing? Before I do, read the word this morning, I'd like to just give you an update on my sister, Nancy, who's been dealing with her tongue cancer. She is doing a lot better. She went to the surgeon this past week. Everything looks good. It's healing very well. She's starting therapy with speech and eating now, so she really appreciates all your prayers. I thank you very much for that. I'll be reading from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This is the command I received from my Father.
The Telegraph is a British newspaper that reported a flock of over 1,300 sheep that had to be rounded up by the police in the Spanish city of Hoseca after their shepherd fell asleep. The article continued with these words: according to city authorities, the police were alerted to the presence of the extremely large flock, which you see on the screen. Attempting to negotiate the streets in the center of Hoseca at around 4:30 a.m. on Tuesday, when a local resident dialed Spain's emergency number. The dozing shepherd was meant to be keeping the animals in check outside of the city while he waited for the clock to strike at 7 a.m., when he was due to guide the sheep northward toward the Pyrenean uplands where his flock will graze during the hot summer months. The police eventually found the herder, who was still peacefully slumbering. Together, the embarrassed shepherd and the police officers were eventually able to extract the sheep from the city and return them to their pastures. What an amazing thought. 1,300 sheep, and the shepherd went to sleep. Our shepherd, Jesus Christ, would never, ever fall asleep on us. It was Russell Ballard who said, "Trust the Lord. He is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know his voice." In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The Greek word for good is kalos, and it can also be translated beautiful. I think we have a beautiful shepherd, don't you? This word implies that he inspires and that he motivates, which is exactly what Jesus Christ does for you and me as he shepherds us. He inspires us by the way he takes care of us so that we take care of others. We know from reading the Gospels that Jesus was betrayed, arrested, tried, and crucified. Jesus Christ died for our sins. But Jesus Christ makes it very clear in verse 16 that he did this willingly. Jesus says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." One of the mistakes that a lot of Christians make when they read the Passion narratives is that they think that Jesus has no choice about the crucifixion. But what Jesus says so very clearly in verse 16 of John chapter 10 is that he lays down his life of his own accord. He's making the choice to do that. He does that out of love for you and me. In March of 2018, a lone gunman took several people hostage in a French supermarket. Arnaud Beltram, a French police officer, offered to trade places with a hostage during the standoff. Because of his actions, the hostage lived, but the officer died. A spokesperson for French President Emmanuel Macron said that Beltram died in the service of the nation to which he had already brought so much. By giving his life to put an end to the armed jihadist terrorist, he has fallen as a hero. Although we don't know for certain the state of the man's heart, his Catholic priest says that he was a true Christian. Father John Baptiste wrote this of Officer Arnaud: "It seems to me that only his faith can explain the madness of this sacrifice, which is today the admiration of all. He understood, as Jesus Christ told us, that there is no greater love than to give one's life for one's friends. He knew that if his life belonged to Marielle, it also belonged to God, to France, and to his brothers in danger of death. I believe that only a Christian faith animated by charity could ask for this sacrifice." And so the Gospels are telling us that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for you and me because he is the Good Shepherd. Jesus said in verse 14 of John chapter 10, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." We know who Jesus is, and we can trust him because as our shepherd, he is watching over us. When we say the 23rd Psalm, we remind ourselves that the shepherd is looking out for us. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We love that psalm, don't we? One of the things that I love about that psalm is that the shepherd has a rod and a staff. Do you know what they're for? The rod is a club, and it's used to wipe away predators who come after the sheep. The staff has a hook on the end of it, and it's used when the sheep begins to wander off of the path, and the shepherd's able to reach out with that staff, bring it around the sheep, and pull the sheep back into the flock where the sheep belong. And that's what God has done for me so many times in my life. He's protected me from the evil one. He's also brought me back onto the path when I've wandered away. That's the shepherd. That's the good shepherd. And that's how much he loves us. In verse 5 of John chapter 10, Jesus said, "They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." We can be certain of who Jesus is because through the scriptures, we recognize his voice. Jesus Christ is concerned about all of you. He's concerned about what you're going through. He's concerned about your financial worries. He's concerned about your relationship problems. He's concerned about your health issues. He's concerned about everything that's going on in your life right now. And he knows everything that's going on in your life right now. But Jesus Christ is not concerned just about the people in this room, is he? He's concerned about people who are not yet following him. And so in verse 16 of John chapter 10, we read, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." What is it that motivates Jesus Christ to say these words? It's love. It's compassion. In Matthew 9, verse 36, we read the words, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus' compassion and his love for this entire world demonstrates to you and to me that there are people who do not have a shepherd in their lives, and they are wandering aimless, don't know where they're going, and won't arrive at the right place because they're not being led by a shepherd. The perfect example of our Lord's compassion is found in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We read these words, "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.' So he came down and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be the guest of a sinner.' But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham.'" Then in the next verse, verse 10, Jesus clarified why he came to earth. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." I went to seminary three times. And the first time I went to seminary was in the early 1980s. I don't remember everything that they taught me. That was a long time ago. I have all the books still, and I can look it up. But I can remember one thing that was said to me, and I'll never forget it. They said, "When you go into a church, you're supposed to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable." So to those of you who are comfortable, I want to say these words. Some people are lost. We should be looking out for them. What is the most important thing that you can do as a Christian? Is it not to be as Jesus was, to seek and to save what was lost? Do you know anyone who's lost? Are you praying for that person? Are you reaching out to that person? Are you inviting that person to Bible studies, to Sunday school classes, and to worship services? Because if you're not, you must not really get what Jesus is saying here. That was his purpose, to seek and to save what was lost. That's why he came to earth. Anton Pilipa of Toronto suffers from mental illness. 5 years ago, he moved into his own apartment. A few days later, he went missing. No one could find him. His brother Stefan said, "There isn't much you can do when someone disappears. Try posters, call the police, drive around the neighborhood, and then a lot of waiting and frustration. Every day, Stefan would awake to the thought, where are you? Are you dead or alive? His brother searched to find him, but could not. Mostly, he simply waited and hoped. Over a period of 5 years, the wandering Anton made his way to Brazil, traveling mostly on foot. Somehow, while there, he attracted the attention of the police. A police officer named Helen, who spoke English, spent 2 hours with him and managed to get Anton's first name and his country of origin. The police then took him to a mental health center for treatment. He began living in that institution. He was resigned to living in a room with 30 people being medicated for his mental illness and eating poorly. Then the police officer, Helen, searched the internet using Anton and Canada in the search window. She was looking for family connections on social media. Then she got a hit. A friend of Anton's brother, Stefan, had reposted a picture of Anton on Twitter. The police officer then contacted the friend who contacted Stefan. Immediately, the police officer emailed Stefan with a picture and a question, "Is this your brother?" Stefan was stunned. He flew to Brazil to meet his lost brother of 5 years. When they met together, it was both a happy and a sad meeting. Anton was in very rough shape, having lived on the road for 5 years while battling mental illness. The brothers embraced, and now Anton is at home in Toronto and on the road to recovery. People wandering away from God go much farther than from Canada to Brazil. They're wandering so far from God, but you should never give up on them. You should keep trying. You should keep praying. You should keep reaching out. You could keep searching. Jesus was looking for lost sheep and wanted us to look for them too. But you know, one of the interesting things about the Gospels is that Jesus doing this did not make him very popular with some people. We read in Luke 15, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." That's our Savior. That's our Shepherd. If Jesus were with us today, where would he be hanging out? Drug dealers? Alcoholics? Terrorists? The people that many of you don't want to spend any time with. Jesus Christ would be reaching out to them so that they could change their lives. So Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." That's what Jesus Christ cares about. Jesus cares about everyone in this room, and Jesus cares about all of the sheep everywhere, those that are found and those that are lost. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. Thank you, Father, for being our shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you reach out to all of us and express your love and concern for those who are lost and those who are found. We give you thanks, Father God, for being with us every moment and walking through the valley of the shadow of death with us We give you thanks for your rod and your staff and all that you have done, Lord, to guide your sheep in green pastures beside still waters. Thank you, Lord, for leading us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And we give you thanks, Lord, that we have the privilege of following you and that you keep, Lord, our needs in front of you. And you're aware of everything that we need. We thank you, Lord, for being our good shepherd. And pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 462, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. What an amazing hymn that we can sing together to remind us that he's our shepherd. We invite you to stand to sing this closing hymn, and if any of you would like to make a profession of faith in Christ or unite with the membership of this church, we invite you to come forward during the singing of this hymn. If you have a need for prayer, a deacon or deaconess will pray with you up at the front. We invite you to come and receive prayer in Jesus' name.